Sorry, guys. I thought I clicked the right button. I sure did.
It's all right. We're going to get it one of these days. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are officially 44 days away from NFL kickoff. We are getting so close, almost to the 30s, which then it's like a month, and that makes it feel so surreal. Yeah. I can't believe we're this close already. I feel like this countdown has flown by, but... So excited to be with you guys tonight. We are down a Kingdom Queen tonight, Miss Jody, because she's off doing some awesome things in the WNBA tonight. So
yeah, she is.
We're rooting her on, and we're gonna carry the weight tonight. But go, Jody, go do your thing.
Yeah, do your thing, girl.
We're proud of you. So I'm your host, Lexi.
I'm Chrissy. And I'm home. I'm Jody. Hey, y'all.
Yeah, I know. I'm so used to it. I'm Jody. Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
So let's get into it.
Yeah.
Really, there is so much to discuss right now.
Yeah. What a
week. Training camp in full swing with pretty... Apparently, the Steelers are the only team that hasn't reported yet. They report tomorrow.
It's interesting how teams report at different times. Like, you'd think it would be, like, one set schedule, except for maybe the first team that's, like, Thursday night game. It's just weird how schedules get laid out.
But. I agree. I feel like it would make more sense if everyone just they're like, okay, everyone has to be here by July 22nd, whatever. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But,
all right. So pretty much the NFL is back.
Yeah.
There's been a lot happening.
Yeah.
All over the NFL today.
Craziness. So we are first going to get into the Chris Jones discussion.
Yes, the impending doom. Not really, but
I hope not.
Oh, I hope not.
I'm sure a lot of Chiefs fans have some PTSD from the whole Tyreek situation, and they're not the same, but there's some similarities that I think are freaking us all out, right? He's wanting more than the Chiefs are going to give him. Like, we all know that Brett Veach is not going to give him $30 million. We just know. And so there's that aspect. There's the aspect that he's sitting out. And it's like, how long will he continue to sit out if they can't make it, reach an agreement, can't reach a deal? And that's what, my thought process last week, I was like, oh, he better be there for a camp. And now I'm just like, is he even going to be there for the season?
At all?
is he going to show, is he even going to be technically on the team this year? I really hope it doesn't get to that because – But man, that PTSD from the whole Tyreek situation where that happened so quickly. And we were just like, wait, what?
We're
in trade talks. Wait, he's been traded? What? It happened all within 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the whole Chris Jones situation, it just makes me a little uncomfortable.
Me too. And, I was thinking about what you said last week and I was more... I'm so in between. I feel like you and Jody's opinion, because Jody's like, oh no, he can show up day one, he'll be fine, which I understand that side. And then I also understand your side where it's like, I want him to be there in the practice.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm starting to lean more towards your side just because I want to see him there. Like, I'm seeing these other players that aren't now. It's not that I don't think he shouldn't be paid. I do think he should be paid. He's earned it. He deserved it.
He deserves it.
But it's kind of like the team aspect. Like, there's some players that aren't getting those deals done, but they're still showing up. And I feel like this might be a conceited Chiefs fan thing to say, but I might understand that more if you're on a team that's maybe not a Super Bowl contender.
You know, Arizona.
Well, yeah, them. You have Devin White on the Buccaneers, who he was holding out. He was hoping to be traded or definitely wanted an extension, and he didn't get either, and he still showed up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the Bucks are not, I'm sorry, but I don't see them in contention at all this year.
No, so their window is past.
Yeah. So I think it's getting a little frustrating when you're seeing all these other guys starting to show up. Now, I do know there's a few other guys holding out. I think Nick Bosa is holding out until he gets his. There are some other guys doing it. So I can see both sides of it. But overall, it's Chris, I just want him more, like you said, to be there to mentor our young guys.
Yeah, I wouldn't even care if he shows up, he avoids the $50,000 a day fine, And he's like, you know, I'm just not feeling the greatest. Like my hamstring thing feels a little iffy. Even, you know, just like whatever, make up an excuse. I don't care, but at least be there for your teammates. Like that way you don't have to worry about the injury aspect. You don't have to worry about, you know, whatever, but you're still there for your teammates and for these young guys that need that veteran. Cause right now, like who's our veteran pass rusher? Is it, I guess like we've got Charles Menhew. We've got,
is Mike it Dana? George,
Mike Dana, George Karlaftis is now having to pick up a leadership role.
Derek Naughty, which is like,
just these guys who are never really thrust into that position before. Yeah. Because we don't have that, like, you know, like I right now, I wish we'd just go grab Dunlap and be like, hey, can you just like, we're going to sign you to a 1-year deal. Just come be the veteran right now. Cause we don't have one. Right. Like we need someone out here mentoring these young guys.
And, you know, I will say we have that in Charles Menhew, and I think he's probably good for that, but he's also learning our system right now.
Right. Exactly.
So it's like, yeah, I'd put it on like Mike Dana right now. And
yeah.
While I like Mike Dana and what he brings, he's not near as strong of a player as Chris Jones.
Right. And I've heard he's had a good camp as far as, you know, our D-line can show without pads and without the physicality. But, like, you can't really tell how they are going to play until you put them in pads and you let them go.
Right.
So, right now, especially on that defensive side, like, the O-line and the D-line, like, those guys – you know, they can do their drills fine and things, but until you put them up against each other and are allowing them to, you know, get to the quarterback or things like that, you know, hit the quarterback, but, you know, get to him and show those moves and go around the O-line and things like that. You can't really tell how strong of a pass rusher they're going to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I agree. And, you know, we had Keandre Coburn on our show and he was so excited to learn under Chris Jones. And like, I just want that for him. I want that for those young guys.
He brought them all the snacks. Like, if Chris Jones doesn't get there soon, all the snacks are going to be gone. I mean, so Chris can get there for the snacks, at least.
At least.
You know, like, oh, I have a hangnail on my toe that makes it painful, but I'm here for the snacks and I'm here for the snacks. The mentorship, you know?
Yeah. So hopefully, I was hoping by today we'd hear like something, but
something.
I noticed in Andy Reid's presser today that like, didn't even ask about him. So I'm like, I don't know.
I wonder if they've been told like, hey, don't ask.
Just
like,
leave it alone right now.
Don't ask about that stuff right now. Like he's got enough on his plate. Because you could kind of tell when they asked about him last week, when they asked if he was surprised he wasn't at camp, you could tell in Andy's own way that he was ticked that Chris wasn't there. And I know Andy has nothing to do with the contract side. Like that's he's just the coach. But you could tell that he, as a coach expecting one of his leaders, especially like the leader of the defense, you could tell that he was frustrated by that without saying he's frustrated. Yeah. Just like the little mannerisms and the tone of his voice were just a little.
Yeah.
Right.
And Andy, like we said, like he doesn't show a lot either way.
Right.
So when you can kind of tell he's leaning one way, it's like, oh.
Uh-oh.
I hate it. Pure little Andy Reid. We need him to stay with us, Chris. Like, don't put him through stress.
No, good gosh. Yeah, hopefully we hear something soon because Chiefs fans have enough on their plates thanks to Kadarius Toney.
An old Kadarius Toney injury.
And his lovely injury and surgery today.
So that's fun. So there was a lot of talk about Kadarius Toney in the offseason potentially being the wide receiver one.
Yeah.
And I think we can all see it. Like, the potential is crystal clear.
Definitely there.
It's just, you know, maybe this current team is just not meant to have a true wide receiver one because we're just juggling.
Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of, I feel like, almost as weird as this. This sounds so weird coming out of my mouth, but it's almost a strength in a way that we don't have a wide receiver one and that we just have, like, a variety of options. Because you saw our offense last year, like, Juju was as close to a wide receiver one as we have, and he's not a wide receiver one. Like, no offense, we love Juju, right? We love
Juju.
But like, MVS isn't a wide receiver one, and we love him.
Yeah.
But, like, it made it to where all of our guys were kind of, like, no guy was really getting, like, double teamed. Like, you would see, like, Devontae Adams or Jamar Chase, like they're potentially going to have like guys double teaming them down the field. Like, we don't necessarily have that guy to be like, man, you really got to get on that guy because
it's really just Kelsey.
Yeah,
it's just Travis Kelsey.
And Kelsey somehow is magical and gets through people anyway.
Always open.
Yeah, he's always open. So, but I will say, Kadarius Toney's surgery that he had, like, if anybody knows me, you know,
I was going to say,
I've had 1,000 knee surgeries, you know, up until my knee was replaced last year. So trying to avoid that. But I have had the surgery that Kadarius Toney had. It sounds like he had a chondroplasty. And Andy said everything looked good in there, which means it wasn't like much cartilage damage. They may have had a few frays or things like that. And so when there's not much to clean up, the rehab is very, very easy. I had one where even my cartilage was not in good shape. They cleaned it up. And that rehab was, I mean, it was a breeze.
I thought you were going to say it was
a breeze.
Like, oh, okay, good.
I wasn't using crutches. I wasn't using anything. So it was just, it's all about quad strength. And for Kadarius Toney, like, we've seen him. That man is. Wow. I don't know if he has an ounce of body fat on. So he knows, like, he's taken really good care of his body. His muscles are just stupid strong.
Yeah.
And so while he will have a little bit of, you know, muscle that he'll have to rebuild, I don't have any worries that he'll do that. Now, we all know the Chiefs training staff, they're not ones to rush someone back.
Yeah.
Especially when someone is as injury prone as Kadarius Toney. So I wouldn't be surprised if he misses week one. Because they don't want to rush him back. They want to make sure we have him, you know, towards that second half of the season. And I know a lot of people are freaking out about Nate Taylor's comment and they're taking it way out of context.
Right.
Like they're saying, like, oh, he's saying he won't even be ready before Halloween. And it's like, no. He's saying what's important is how he feels the second half of the season. And you don't want to rush him back to where that second half of the season, he's struggling. Mm-hmm. That is what Nate Taylor was trying to say. And everyone freaked out about it. So.
And I feel like I'd rather have him for that second half of the season, because that's when we play teams like the Bills, the Bengals, and the Eagles.
Right.
That's Chargers.
AFC heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really want him to be there for those kind of games as opposed to like the Bears and the Lions, and everyone's so new in the first few weeks anyways. I'm like, I wouldn't mind, as much as I know they want to plug him in our offense, as much as we all want him to be, like, it wouldn't be a horrible thing if he had to miss like 4 or 5 games. Right. I would love to see him go against like Sauce Gardner and the Jets, you know, like week 4, but I don't know that we're going to get that. And honestly, with that field in New York, it might be better that he doesn't. So
yeah, well, I know like McDuffie last year or last season, he had that injury at the beginning of the season. And he said, he's like, you know, I felt ready to come back this time, but the training staff told me like, no, we're going to ease you back in. And he said, what I didn't realize is when I thought I was ready, I wasn't actually ready. And had he gone back when he wanted to go back, he would have injured himself even more.
Right.
So I have full faith in our training staff to make sure that they don't push him back in too soon. And if that means he misses week 1, week 2, week 3, then so what? You know, we didn't have Kadarius Toney for the first like 8-9 weeks last season.
Exactly. I think that's the bummer part, that people are like, well, we just wanted a full season of him because you know the potential that's there and you want to see all of that because like he can make amazing electric plays happen. But at the same time, I'd rather him be there for that playoff run, the end of the year stuff. So
totally agree. So since we're talking about Kadarius Toney and what we are going to look like without him, let's jump into our wide receiver room.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
I think I'm actually feeling way more positive than I think you are too.
Oh yeah.
But I there's, you know, there's some Chiefs Kingdom is really split on this right now in our wide receiver room. I feel like there's a lot of people that are feeling really good about it. And there's a lot of people that are like, I'm feeling about 3 out of 10. And I'm like, I'm watching this. Well, okay. So I feel like without Tyreek last year, we were still like, we didn't know what our offense was going to become. But like you said, it's almost less pressure to not have a wide receiver one and a guy that you're like trying to get all those targets to.
Right.
Because you have Travis Kelce. So he kind of acts as that, especially I think he catches people off guard in moments where they don't expect him to be that person. So that's where he gets open and he's like, oh, I'm just going to trick you real quick. And so we have that amazing aspect of our offense. But then we're not fighting for a guy like a DeAndre Hopkins now to get his touches. So you're just going to, you're going to, it isn't an off season if people aren't freaking out, right? That's so just how it goes, especially with our team, because all of us at the end of the day, we want what's best for our team. We just want to see them win and keep doing what they've been doing. So I understand everyone's concerns either way. But I just think what I've been seeing so far in training camp, what we witnessed last year with our offense, do without Tyreek Hill, I think that has, that proved to me that you can win a Super Bowl with a room that I don't want to diminish their talent, because I think all of these guys are really talented. So I don't want to take away from that. But they're not the big flashy names. It's not Stephon Diggs. It's not DeAndre Hopkins. It's not whoever, you know. And but I think guys like, we've seen Rashee Rice. We're on that train in training camp. We're on, I'm on everyone's train right now. I'm on Sky Moore. I'm on
a very long train.
Justin Ross. Like, I've just seen the potential. I mean, Denarik Prince, apparently he doesn't ever drop a pass. Like,
he catches everything instead of Juju. It's going to be Denarik Prince. Catches everything.
Yeah. Prince of our offense. Prince of the kingdom, right?
Ooh, so I like that. Prince of the kingdom. With that King Felix and
Prince. Oh, perfect. Hey. Starting nicknames over here.
It's clear.
But, you know, and so I think there's a lot of potential there. I love what I'm seeing so far. I think if we've learned anything from last season, it's that Mahomes and Andy Reid are going to get people open. They're going to make these crazy electric plays happen, and it just has to be the right guy to make it work, and I think we have that room.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about our wide receiver room, and I don't think this is an accident either. If you look at all of our wide receivers, they are all different wide receivers. They all have different strengths, different builds, different speed aspects, things like that. They are not all like, we don't have like a bunch of MVS type receivers. We don't have a bunch of Juju type receivers. I know we have Juju, but you guys know what I mean.
Right.
Like, we don't, and like, they're all different. Like Sky Moore, who is having a great camp, it looks like, and he's working hard. So yay, Sky. But they're all different. Their strengths, their weaknesses, it's like they kind of all offset each other. And so we can utilize them in a bunch of different ways versus, and that makes our offense a little more creative, because if you look at like, well, I don't want to throw any receivers out because I don't want to diminish their talent. But let's say you have like a number one wide receiver, like a true number one wide receiver. But let's say they have some weaknesses, but they're your number one wide receiver. So you want to force them to try to do as many of these different types of plays as possible. And maybe, you know, sometimes they are not, that's not their forte, but you're like, they're a number one wide receiver. So you kind of got to push the offense through them. With the Chiefs, you can say, okay, well, this type of play is best for Sky. This type of play is best for MVS. This type of play is best for one of the Ross kids, Richie James or Rashee Rice. Or you can make your offense so incredibly diverse and creative that it kind of diminishes the need for a number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And no, I would not complain if we got a number one wide receiver. Sure, that'd be great.
Right. But no one's going to be mad about that.
We don't need it. And I want to pull up this video, y'all, because anyone who follows me on Twitter, y'all know I am like the VP of the Rashee Rice train. Because holy cow, I'm so excited about him. So let me go find this and I'm going to pull this up. And
he made a really, it was a really good throw and just a really good catch.
Yeah. So I'm going to show this catch because these are the catches we are seeing. Like amazing coverage. Like,
McDuffie could not have covered that better.
Yeah. And also dimes.
Completely like, right in dimes. The bucket. Just right in the bucket.
So we're getting that trust and that chemistry already between Rashee Rice and Patrick Mahomes, which is huge because we're like in our first week of training camp, guys. Like this is 1 week basically.
Not even pads yet.
Yeah, not even pads, which I know makes a difference. But
yeah,
McDuffie, whose number change is going to drive me crazy. for Same. A very long time because oh, I'm just gosh. Like, oh, 22 is one.
Who are you?
What's happening?
I know. But and it's only like one number off.
I know, it's one number different. Like, I was just like, and now what's we happening?
Have, and then Mike Edwards took over McDuffie's note. I'm like, this is
yeah. Much. I'm like, you guys, you can't do this. You're all built the same. Like, you're all the same height. You're all yeah. built the same. You can't do this to my brain, okay? But I just the connection that we are seeing between Rashee Rice and Mahomes already is just. I don't know. I think that it's really, really special. I see so much potential in Rashee Rice, and I'm probably hyping him up too much. But you know what?
No, this I don't show, think you are.
No, this show hyped up Pacheco, y'all. And
we sure
what,
did.
What did we find with Pacheco? A diamond in the rough. We got pop.
In
we
the
got
rough.
Super Bowl running back hero. You know, he when Mahomes went down in the Jags game,
he was my hero. This,
like
playoffs,
38
man.
Yard run to help Chad Henne. Like I'm going on a tangent, but you know what? Like, we see talent.
Here Pacheco, Queens, he's guys. Just one of my favorite people in existence. Oh my gosh, honestly,
and he's like he's 100 miles an hour. No matter what you do, you got to keep him. You know, from being
Andy,
stupid.
Andy Reid just laughs about it. He's like, yeah, that guy. He's like, it might not even be the prettiest runs you've seen, but like. Dang it, he's going to get the job done. And he does. Yeah.
And
he's
and
so
I
much
love that about
watch.
Him. And it sounds like he's like that in like every aspect of his life.
He's someone I like cannot imagine him in a bad mood.
I know. Or if he's in a bad mood, it's a very explosive bad mood. Like he's just
that
like,
could be.
Rawr, you yeah. know, like
but then I, so yeah. and I think that guy, well, okay, I want to go back to Rashee Rice a little bit, but there I have a theory that Mahomes was practicing, which he kind of Rashee Rice flew under the radar over this off season.
Yeah.
Where we were all focused on
like Addison and
Flowers. And Flowers yeah. was there with him practicing in Texas. And remember how that hype train like went way up?
Woo.
And I think that like blew up his draft stock because the Ravens went up and took him. And I do think he's gonna be a good receiver.
Yeah.
But I think the Chiefs probably knew he wasn't going to fall to them anyway at that pick. I think they knew people were going to take him. So it was a little bit of smoke. And then they were like, let's keep this Rashee Rice guy a little bit of a secret because we did not hear much about him. It was kind of just like, oh no, it's Flowers. Like, oh, now we're all convinced we need him on our team.
Yeah.
And I think Rashee Rice flew under the radar. And then I think he's going to be something special on this team, especially this quick into training camp, him getting this much attention. I don't even think Sky Moore got this much attention last year.
No, I don't think he did either. And the thing about Rashee is like, you look at a lot of his tape and he, one of his strengths is contested catches. And mm-hmm. that's something that we like MVS could kind of get up there sometime, but he's not like as physical of a wide receiver. And I'm not saying that
he's good at
thing.
Speed. No, he has the
speed and more finesse. And you know, he makes these beautiful catches.
He does.
And he works really hard. But, like, sometimes you have the more physical wide receivers, and that's definitely how I see Rashee Rice. And he makes these contested catches. He gets in behind the defenders, and he can just get up higher than they can. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so.
Yeah, because McDuffie could not have covered that one any better than he did. So that was impressive. And then I think Denarik Prince has that shot to be, like, the kind of the Pacheco of last season where – apparently, according to everyone that's been at training camp, is like he is just making every single catch.
Yeah, and now, he doesn't drop anything.
He is a running back, but he's kind of playing like, I think I said it last week, kind of like the Deebo Samuel type role where he's like wide receiver, running back type hybrid. So,
yeah,
I think he has a really, I think he'll probably make the roster. I think Justin Ross has a good chance. And then,
Well, especially with KT going down, you know, right now. And you know, Julia brings up, she's talking about Joey Fortson.
I know we need to get into the rest of training camp, right?
Yeah. Like, we got a lot to talk about. Let's jump in. Do. I've got a whole, I don't know if you guys see this. All of this is,
just
I don't know how to go down. How do I do this? All of this is training camp. This is the rest. All that's training camp.
Love it. Let's Mine's on my computer, but I'm not going to show you that right now.
Yeah,
but I'm looking this way. I'm looking at my notes this way.
But Jody's had he's been targeted in the red zone, and we all know like that is when we've seen him play. Jody Fortson, big red zone threat, right? Big physical tight end, tall, gets those catches, great hands.
Yeah,
we just got to keep him healthy. You know, he's had two injuries two seasons in a row. And but when he's out there, he is a difference maker. And so I would really like him to stay healthy, because another tight end that's really having a great camp so far is Noah Gray.
He's not under the radar, don't you think?
He's
not as talked about.
Yeah, super under the radar. But I think I've seen a couple people on Twitter talk about how they think that he may have a breakout season.
Yeah.
And I think a way to extend Kelsey's, you know, like football life is by getting Noah Gray more involved. And I think we saw a lot of great plays by Noah Gray last year, especially in the Jacksonville game where, you know, all our wide receivers go down. So we're running with MVS and Marcus Kemp and Sky Moore and, you know, Travis Kelce, yeah, obviously still playing. But then, you know, Noah Gray got in there and he made some big plays. So, huge. And he's done that consistently where he'll be like a big third down threat if Kelsey's been covered or something.
He made that really good play in the Titans game last season. It was like a crazy like bobble catch, but it was a really nice play.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see Noah Gray for sure. Cause I think like if he can have a really good season this season, it makes me feel better about Chiefs post Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Noah Gray really be, everyone says, oh, he's baby Kelsey. Well, I want to see that this season. I want to see us trusting him more on those big plays. Because Kelsey was hurting at the end of last season, guys.
Like, yeah.
His
back was like out of place or something.
Yeah. He's my age. We hurt. I make noises every time I get out of a chair. It's not a quiet thing. It's every time. Sorry. That was probably really loud in the mic, but like, so I can imagine, you know, getting hit as much as Kelsey does. And, you know,
and I think I still think he's having so much fun playing. I think he wants to go as long as he can. Yeah. But it is also like
setting up his post-football career. Like we're seeing it unfold, and it's really sad.
It is sad. But I did hear from someone today that might know him a little better than we do that he is having so much fun and is like excited to be back to work after a crazy offseason. So
yeah,
I think it does ground him, or it gives him more of a schedule to go off of, I guess. It's like, yeah, I think he might be someone that needs that. So
yeah, and having that connection on the field with like your best friend who's your quarterback, like having that just like crazy like connection where they know where each other are gonna be.
How would you not want to just like keep going as long as you could?
I know. Like just I'd wanna
like you finally have the dream set up now. It's like,
I know, you got the dream set up. I always love this. One of my favorite things is when Mahomes got drafted and he was gonna take over. Yeah, hey. Travis Kelce was a huge Alex Smith supporter. Huge.
Yes.
He was like, you know, this new guy, this Patrick Mahomes, he's got to prove to me like all this. And he was like, he was downplayed. He's like, Alex is my quarterback, man. Like, and then you see who
Kelce
they've
is
become.
So loyal too. He's so
I know
loyal
he's incredibly loyal. And you just see who they've become and that insane electric, like super incredibly rare connection that they have on the field where they can sense where they're going to go. Like, how can you want to leave that? Like, I would feel like that would be so incredibly hard to walk away from.
Same.
So it's like, if we can keep him here longer by throwing in some extra Jody, some extra Noah Gray, you know?
And that's what I think is so good about our offense. Like we've been saying, like everyone kind of has their own little niche that they throw in. And I'm really excited to watch our offense operate this season.
Yeah. I think we're going to run a lot more tight end sets. Like we were the number one,
especially
two tight
with
end
KT
set.
Out with Kadarius Toney out. Yeah.
We were the number one, two tight end set offense in the whole NFL last season.
We have the best tight end room in the league, baby.
Yeah, we do. They're so pretty too.
They're so pretty. All three of them.
We can have some thirst traps like on this. Sure. I'm sorry, men, or, you know, guys, people that aren't attracted to guys, but you know what? We're inclusive here, you know, but man, they are just beautiful.
We're
men.
Just going to give compliments where they're due. That's all.
Yeah. You know, God, well done.
God worked hard on our tight end room.
He really did.
He blessed them.
He blessed them in many ways.
I wanted to touch on two. So we haven't seen a lot of our D-line, O-line stuff yet because pads aren't on. But did you see that rep? You probably have this in your notes. That rep from Donovan Smith, our new yes. left tackle versus Mike Dana. Man, yes. they went at it.
They did, and I love it.
I love it
so much.
It was like a good battle, though.
Yes.
I was like, this is great.
What you want to see. I love yes. it. And, you know, I had originally put on my notes, like, you know, I understand we're not getting a lot of defensive things right now because we're not in pads and this is more about the offense, maybe, you know, things like that. But I did some research today looking for defensive highlights.
Yeah.
Because I just was, you know, they just don't get as much, you know, pizzazz but,
okay.
as the offense.
So one
know?
Thing I want to add really quick.
Yes.
The struggle of training camp for me is I want to see both sides of the ball do well at all yeah. times. But that means one side isn't going to do as well sometimes. That means the other side is
right.
So it's such right. a struggle because I'm like, oh, I'm so proud of you for getting the interception. Mahomes, how dare you throw an interception?
Yes.
Oh, but then, okay, McDuffie, oh, you got blown over on that play. How dare you get blown over?
It's like, I know. It's know. Like, oh, good job, but get better. Like-
yeah. So, but that's what you have to remember is iron sharpens iron, right? Like they're just going to yeah. make each other better. They're all going to have plays. They're all going to make plays because they're all talented players. Of
yes.
course, our offense tends to be more exciting because we have the best quarterback in the league, but then I'm excited for our defense too. So carry yeah. on, but I just wanted to add that in there.
Oh, I love that because that kind of ties into one of the things I was going to talk about. So right now the Chiefs have 6 cornerbacks on a rookie deal. 6.
Wow.
And so we are stacked in yeah. cornerback and they are all fighting for positions, right? So, you know, we had Nick Jones on the podcast.
Yes.
He has had a ton of plays. He even picked off Mahomes to Kelce today.
When I see that, I'm like, holy moly. Like our little rookie came in and picked off Mahomes to Kelce.
I know, but he's a ball hawk. Like that's what we're talking about. He's a ball hawk. So the fact that he's running with the
so
one.
So proud.
I know, we're so proud. And, you know, but I also find it interesting, like, you know, like, well, first of all, like Justin Reed and Snead both had pass breakups today. Nazee Johnson is getting some nickel looks with the ones.
Yeah, Nazee Johnson is someone to look out for.
Like, good for him, right? That's
proud
awesome.
Of him.
Joshua Williams was working with the twos. So
I think
that's
he had a tipped interception to himself.
He
today.
Did.
Good job.
Yeah. So I just, there's so much competition. And
yeah.
I love that because these cornerbacks are going to be fighting for spots and they're going to have to work hard. So,
see, but, Julia, that's where I agree.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want Mahomes
right?
to be picked off, but then
right.
I'm proud.
But something that I love, and this just goes to show you, and this is going to talk about Mahomes, but it's talking about our defense. So bear with me. So Mahomes was talking about McDuffie today. He was saying, you know, McDuffie has been impressing and because he's been battling with Mahomes. Like Mahomes has been having to fight McDuffie. Like you've seen like the video we showed of Rashee Rice. Like he is all over our wide receivers. His coverage is tight.
Oh, yeah.
So Mahomes is really having to battle, which is going to make Mahomes better too, which is awesome. But he is really having to battle to get these balls past McDuffie. And he was saying, he said he knew last year he was going to be good because he is always in the right spot. Now the next evolution for him is just to be making the interceptions.
Yeah.
And then he also told McDuffie and Snead, he goes, especially out here, I'm going to test you.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because
love it.
You've got our quarterback who doesn't have to be doing that. He could just be like, well, I'm going to do this because I know it'll work. I'm going to do this because I know it'll work. But he's testing himself and he's also testing, you know, our safeties,
yeah.
our cornerbacks, all of those guys to see just what he can get away with and see if he
and
can
what they're
make
paying
them
attention
better.
To.
Yeah. And just see if he can make them better in the process. And I
yeah.
love that he's thinking that way. It just.
And I think that's one of the best aspects of training camp is you can get away with that stuff. You can try that stuff. And he's like, that's where Andy Reid gives me that freedom where I don't think many other quarterbacks, probably a few, I would say the Burrows, the Allens, the Hertzes of the world, Herberts, they might get away with that kind of stuff, but not many of them are. And I think it's because he is so talented and you know the plays he can pull off. And so if he can pull something like that off on you, like,
yeah,
I love that he's wanting to test everyone and just make everyone better. Cause that's, we have another hard schedule. So
yeah.
where you're facing all the best in the league again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing every year, but that's what comes with winning a championship, which is great.
Right. And I know, like, I obviously am not an NFL coach. Like we all know that, but I mean,
I thought
do,
you were,
I know it's shocking. I know everybody's shocked. I just dropped a huge bomb on you guys. Crazy. But I do, so I do coach soccer, right? And I tell I tell my teams, I say, and it's very similar to training camp. I say, like, practice is a place for you to make mistakes because you learn from those mistakes and you get better. And so it's the same thing with training camp. Like, you're going to make mistakes in training camp, but that's where you want to make the mistakes. You want to make them in training camp because that is where you will grow from them, where you will learn from them. You'll realize what works, what doesn't work. Yeah. And then that translates to a game because you've already perfected it in practice. So I love that Mahomes is taking those chances, that our cornerbacks and such are really working to stop Mahomes, and they're having to try new things to see if they can figure out Mahomes. If you can figure out Mahomes, you're going to –
That's the thing. I mean, you are going against the best every single day in
the
practice.
The best of the best.
I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better to make your game better. So I think our offense, it's just so diverse. And so these guys are going to see flashes of everything in our offense. And it's, I mean, easily the most creative offense in the league.
Oh, for sure.
I think our defense, what I've heard a lot of those guys saying, especially like guys like Justin Reed and stuff, he's like, you know, Spags, which maybe I just didn't listen to it as much, but I feel like I did, but I don't remember guys saying his defense was that hard to learn. But over these last few years, I've been really hearing the guys say, like, his defense is hard to learn. So I'm wondering if Spags just, like, upped his game a little bit, but I feel like these guys are on it for next season. Like,
yeah.
And they're out to prove a point.
Yeah. This feels different than when we won the Super Bowl the first time. And that's, it also sounds like such a, like, when we won the Super Bowl.
I know, you know.
But, like, it really does. It feels different. It feels like, and I don't know if it's because the Chiefs won the Super Bowl with such a young group, like so many rookies on the team.
Yeah.
And so much, like, adversity with, like, Mahomes' injury, Kelsey's back. You know, just, you know, Snead went out against the Bengals, I think it was.
He went out with the concussion.
Yeah, because I was just in Disney World and my mom and I watched the AFC Championship against the Bengals and the Super Bowl against the Eagles. It's fine.
But then watching you,
my priorities lied. I was like, oh, we're gonna watch this.
Seeing you watch that, I went back and watched it too, and I was holy crap, I forgot he went on the first drive.
I know, it was so early. I was like, oh my gosh. So, but like, our group was so young.
Well, I think what made this one really special is it wasn't like, I think, okay, so the first one, they're just such different wins to me because the first one was, we hadn't won in 50 years and we'd been like waiting, clamoring for it. We had such a good team. Like, it was kind of expected.
Yeah.
But this, you know, we had kind of a Hall of Fame team. You had your Tyreek Hill, your Travis Kelce, who was younger. And then you had a lot of defensive stars on there.
More talented roster, I would say.
The names on the roster were more talented, I would say. Yeah. I would say they had the bigger names. Yes. So then this season,
that's a better way to say it.
Yeah. This season, I think they were just as talented, if not more talented. I'd love to see like those two teams go up against each other and see which one, right?
Which made us more dangerous.
And so it just felt cool because I think we were so underrated and
everyone thought, we lost Tyreek.
Yeah.
We lost. Hey, you know what? Maybe this season we won't have to hear that every single game.
Oh my gosh. Every game.
It was like, gosh, if I should have bet on every game, like, will they mention Tyreek Hill 100% five times? $1,000. Yeah. Thank you. I don't know how betting works. It's not legal in Missouri and I'm not driving to Kansas. So I don't know how it works, but you know,
come on over to the Osborne house.
It's crazy.
But yeah, I agree.
Well, I've got one last thing about camp.
Okay.
Because I don't want to leave him out. Because Harrison Butker had kind of a little dramatic of a year, a little iffy sometimes.
Poor thing.
With the injury and then trying to come back from the injury and the mental aspect of the injury. But today, so he went 7 of 7.
Hey.
And then he missed the 8th one, which was a 47 yarder. And then, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name.
Tommy?
No, what's our special
Justin
team
Reed?
Coach?
No, special team coach. Dave Tobe.
Yes, thank you. God. I was like, something. He made him retake that 47 yarder and he nailed it. So
oh,
he
good.
Went 8 of 9 and he was 7 out of 7 before he missed it and then he made it right after. So he went 8 of 9 today. So
butt kicker is back.
I just want to give him some props, you know? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Special teams guys never get enough props.
I don't think they do either, you know, and the special teams is so important. We've been a part of Chiefs teams where their special teams was horrible. Oh, and, you know, I would say the year before last, our special teams was not great. And a lot of mistakes came from special teams.
Sure did.
So I don't know. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I'm happy when our special teams guys do well. And Harrison Butker had such a crazy year. What?
I was just thinking, I had a flashback to the Colts game.
I know.
And we've seen what happens when your special teams isn't clicking.
Yeah.
And how it can actually cost you a game. And
it
so
literally can.
When they're in sync, everything else works well too.
Yeah. If you notice towards the end of the season, our special teams figured it out finally. And our team.
And that's what ultimately won us the Super Bowl, honestly. Yeah. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Well,
what's up, KT? Get better.
I don't want to say that overall, but like every single aspect of our team worked together to win that Super Bowl. That's what I'll say.
But had special teams played like they did earlier in the season, we wouldn't have won the Super Bowl.
No.
So they're special for a reason.
Exactly. Okay?
Be special.
And I'm ready for Butt Kicker to get back. I think he lost a little confidence last year.
I think so too.
He still is one of like the top five kickers in the league. So
yeah.
Butt Kicker, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We back you. We support you.
Yes. Well, we could talk about training camp for probably hours, but we're going to do a quick segue. And by quick, I mean fairly quick, because Justin Herbert got a contract extension.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, Justin. Surprised it happened now. Yeah. Surprised it happened now. Seems like a weird time, but, you know, congrats, Justin.
It's random, but I guess it was between him and Burrow, and one of them were set to go first.
Yeah. I just don't see Burrow's getting done till next year, so I don't know why there was such a rush to get it done.
I don't know, but then he had that, like, Burrow had an interview today where it maybe sounded like things were in the talks right now, so I don't, there could be a chance that his gets done before the season.
Interesting.
His extension. But, so Justin Herbert is now, you know, quarterback of the Chargers. He is now in the top. Gosh, Patrick Mahomes is now the top eight.
Isn't that crazy?
Quarterback, which is insane.
It's insane.
So we might have to up his contract next season, but we'll get into that another time.
But
good for you, Justin Herbert. You're a talented, talented young man. You deserve that money. $252 million.
Yeah.
5 years extension, which puts him at about $52 million a year. So right around Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, they're all in that $50 million a year, which is so relatable because I'm really close to that too. So
I wish I were.
I'm kidding. Yeah, obviously I'm kidding.
So far away from that.
Just like maybe
that's sad.
1/100th of the way there. Not even, but you know, we're working here. Okay.
Just pocket change. Just chump change. You know, we're trying.
They are putting their bodies on the line for our entertainment, so I appreciate that.
No, I put my body on the line every day I get out of bed. So you know what?
We all do, really. I had a thought the other day of like how much faith we put in humanity every single day, like
isn't it crazy?
Into strangers, like to not crash our plane, to not like just so many.
Please don't rob
this
my.
Is getting
bank.
Weird, but you know what I mean. Yeah, that too.
Please don't rob it. I like
Chiefsaholic. Don't rob Chrissy's bank.
Yeah, please, thank you.
Thanks so much. No, but I mean, good for Justin. Good for you. Get your paycheck. We knew it was coming. Just a matter of when and. What they were going to pay him, but I'm not really surprised. All of that to finish second in the AFC West, but you know what? Good for you.
Yeah. Or if you ask, this is great segue, Lexi. Well done. If you ask,
oh yeah,
the graphic by USA Today by Mr. Nate Davis.
Put that picture in there.
Third in the AFC West.
Yeah.
Because okay. Apparently.
So that was, yeah.
I don't know if y'all have seen this floating around Twitter. We'll retweet it from Kingdoms Queens. I'm pretty sure. I feel like Lexi and I have both retweeted it. Here. It might be backwards. Well, let's see. I feel like this is an edited one.
I think that actually works.
Here you go. Hey.
Oh, yeah. They edited it.
They edited it because there must have been so much backlash. Uh-huh. Because originally it showed the Chiefs at 10-7.
Tying the Broncos 10-7.
Excuse me.
And the Steelers, 10-7? The Steelers 11-6. You're telling me Kenny Pickett is going to lead a better team than Patrick Mahomes?
I have some words. I have some serious words for that man. And that is why he changed us to 11-6, because he was scared. Okay.
He was like, what did I just
do? He was
do?
Like, oh, crap. This was I was kidding. It was a finger.
Did you see them say it was a typo? I'm like, you are USA Today. Like a fully verified account.
I just saw the different graphic and I was like, am I crazy? Didn't I see 10-7? And then I was like, no, I know it was 10-7.
It was.
I balked at it.
Yeah, it was. We all saw it.
Full of it. Someone paid him.
You can run, but you can't hide. We saw it.
We got you. We got eyes all over Twitter, Mr. Nate Davis. Whatever. Yep. Yeah, Nate Davis. So I will say there are a few on here that I definitely don't agree with. You know, 11-6 makes me feel a little better, but under Mahomes and Andy Reid, we've never gone below 12 wins. So I don't know why I would suddenly be like, yeah, we're going to be 11-6.
Yeah.
But
no,
that's
10.
For me, 10. Being a Chiefs fan. So suck it up and get over it if you're not a Chiefs fan. Okay.
Yeah.
I think Bengals is fairly accurate. They have them at 12-5. That I, you know, agree with. They could even be better than that. They could be 13-4. They're a great team. We all know it. We hate it, but we know it.
The fact that they don't have anyone in the AFC North going under .500 is insane.
That's so weird to me.
I'm like, you guys have like the hardest division, arguably. And you're telling me their losses don't even come in their own division? Or like, what are we saying here?
Like, what is happening? I do think the Bills are super inflated. I don't.
Again, as
13-4. Like, I think the Bills have some issues right now. And
I agree. And I think they win their division still. Yeah, but maybe. Like, their division's gonna be really hard too. And
they've got the Dolphins. And if you know, I'm not a huge believer in the Dolphins. I'm sorry, guys. I don't.
I'm not either.
I just don't get it. I don't understand. I know they've got Tyreek, and I know they've got Waddle. I get that. Congratulations.
Congrats on the speed.
Yeah, congrats. You're fast. You know, so is the Flash, but people can stop him. So you know, it's just like, sorry, but like the Jets, they have them at 12-5, and that also seems a little inflated to me because I'm like, you guys are a brand new team. You expect to be that together,
right?
To go 12-5.
I do think Aaron Rodgers, he looks good so far in training camp. I mean, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Their defense is really good, but they have a lot to prove. They have a hard schedule in this first few weeks.
They do.
Actually, okay. So my thing is with the AFC North and the AFC East, all of their schedules are pretty dang hard. Yeah. So I don't know how all of these teams are expected to do so well. I'm like, unless you're all just beating the crap out of the NFC and no one does well in the NFC. Like, I don't know every team is getting such good records, but
I just want to say
Diggs goes too clear.
I have to tell you, I called it last year, last season. Well, the end of last season, I think it was this year, about how Diggs had issues with the Bills. And there was a video of him going up to Allen in a game and him like throwing his hands up and he was being frustrated. And then Allen stared at his tablet the whole time and didn't even look at him. That moment right there, I said, there are communication issues with the Bills and there are some chemistry.
And they wanted
issues.
To ignore it.
And everybody said, oh, you're being dramatic. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Chrissy, chill out. No, I was right. I was right. Because they've talked about it this offseason. They've talked about it. So you know what? Next time I'm being all dramatic, which happens a lot.
Listen to me.
Listen, okay? I know what I'm talking about. 37% of the time.
Okay, so listen to the Jets.
Maybe more than that.
Listen to the Jets' schedule.
Mm-hmm.
How they start.
Okay.
So first game, Bills. Wait. Yeah, first game is Bills. I believe that's the Sunday night game or Monday night game.
Hmm.
Next game, Cowboys. Next game, Patriots, which, eh. Hmm. Next game, Chiefs. Next game, Broncos, which I don't know how those will mesh up. Next game, Eagles.
Ooh.
Giants, Chargers, Raiders, eh. Bills again, Dolphins. Then Falcons, Texans, not bad. I mean, they have some hard matchups at the beginning. Their schedule gets a little easier at the end, I will say. They have Falcons, Texans, Commanders, Browns. Browns, Jets could actually be a good game towards the end of the season there. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't like talking about their quarterback, but that could actually be a decent game. But the Jets have a hard season, to have them at 12-5 is a little ambitious for me.
I know. That's kind of what I thought. Like, oh, sorry. My children are probably walking the door. So my dogs or my children, just ignore them. It's fine. It's fine. Not like you haven't heard them before. Well,
they're a part of our show at this point.
They basically are. Emma's actually a producer, so.
She really is. She carries it.
I will say I was kind of shocked at the Vikings record that they predicted of 7-10.
Does that come from?
They have the Lions at 11-6, the Bears at 7-10, which could potentially do better. We all were believing in Justin Fields last season. Hi, Emma. And they have the Vikings, Packers, and Bears at 7-10, and the Lions at 11-6.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Please be respectful. So I just think that the NFC North, like, it looks – that's just bizarre. Like, the Vikings made it to the playoffs, and they were almost undefeated for almost the entire season. Now, I was a big critic of the Vikings.
Yeah, you were.
I said they were the biggest frauds in the NFL. But after watching the quarterback series, my opinion changed a little bit because I grew so much respect.
I agree.
For Kirk Cousins and their coach. Like, I feel like they have a very special connection, especially for being like their first year they were together.
Yeah.
And I feel like the second year that they're going to be together, I don't know. Like, I think they could be better than last year. And so I was just kind of shocked that they were like, 7-10 for the Vikings.
Yeah. I think I really like Kevin O'Connell. I didn't know a lot about him until we watched quarterback and saw that bond that him and Kirk Cousins have. But I thought that was really cool. And I think he actually seemed like a great head coach. And he led them. What was their record last year? Was it 12-5, 13-4?
I thought it was 13-4.
I think 13-4 sounds right.
Right.
It was a good record.
Yeah.
My only concern for them this season is their defense. And I don't know a lot about their defense, but I know they lost some key pieces. And their O-line, I think they just added a little depth to it today, which should be good.
I missed that.
Yeah, but I'm really looking forward to see how our teams match up, us and the Vikings. I think that should be a great game. Yeah.
They're a friend of mine's. That's their team. So, like, for a while, I was like, oh, my NFC team is the
They have a big fan base. I mean, they're a big team.
They
really
do. They do.
Like, they're – yeah. School. It's like similar to
but you know, congrats.
Something with an old Viking. But yeah, I don't know about that. And then I think they also again had the NFC South not doing much like at all. And again, I think that could be accurate, actually. I don't know what to expect from any team in the NFC South. I don't know. We have the Buccaneers with Baker Mayfield. We have
the 5-12 seems accurate with Baker. And I feel bad saying that. But that they're kind of a hot mess over there right now.
Well, if they couldn't do any better with Tom Brady.
Right.
I don't know. Granted, he was 45, but
maybe, you know, maybe it'll be like a Kirk Cousins story where he struggled when he was with Washington and then he got to the Vikings and it was like a little Cinderella story.
Better, yeah.
Maybe it'll be like that for Baker. Maybe he just needs a coach to believe in him, or maybe he needs that,
you know,
somebody. I don't know.
One of my favorite moments of last season was when Baker joined the Rams for a game, and Sean McVay was a full believer in Baker Mayfield, and he went out there and won the game. And he just like he found that fire in him. So maybe if he has a whole off season of that, it could be good.
Right. I agree.
So I don't know. And I'm curious to see how Bryce Young does on the Panthers. I don't know what to expect from him because he's a rookie. Same with CJ Stroud on the Texans. Like, there's some unknowns in these divisions.
Yeah.
I think the two Souths are still going to be the worst divisions.
Yeah, they still look like it. Though I was also surprised by the records they had for the Jags and the Titans. They had the Jags at 10-7 and the Titans at 8-9.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Jags ended on such a high last season. Mm-hmm. I know, like, we beat them in the playoffs, but I mean, nobody expected them to be there. And so it's kind of, I kind of look at them as like the Cincinnati, not at the talent level of the Cincinnati Bengals, but like the Cincinnati Bengals a couple years ago, like no one expected them.
Were like that. Yeah.
To be like that. They, no one expected them to do that. And I kind of look at the Jags that way. Like no one expected them to be as good as they were last year. No one expected them to make the playoffs, let alone give the Chiefs a run for their money. So it's, I was kind of surprised by that. Like they have them winning their division and that's fine. I'm just surprised it's 10-7. Like I thought it could be like 11-6.
I would think 11-6, 12-5. Like that's what I would do for the
Like
Jags.
I could definitely see that because like two of their division opponents are the Texans and the Colts.
Yeah.
And the the Texans showed a little bit of life at the end of last season, but at that point, I think it was just desperation. Like guys wanted to win for themselves to prove
they're so tired of losing
to maybe another coach or maybe another team that said, "Hey, we want to get them on our team. Like they're better than the team they're on," something like that.
But and I think guys, like you know, at the point of the season we played the Texans last year, they're probably going into that game like, "Let's show up these Chiefs."
Yeah.
Like, they think they're the
There's
Chiefs.
There's nothing coming into to our lose, house. And like, they did. They took us to overtime. They played a great game against us. Like, we didn't even play badly. They just played a great game against us. So
and they had to feel really good about that afterwards. Yeah. Like, okay, we can hang with the best of them. So
yeah, we gave them a little spark. Like, good.
But
for
them. I'm just so excited for the upcoming season. But yeah, August, 10-7 for the Chiefs. That's not going to happen. Sorry.
No, it's going to be much better.
And I don't think the Broncos are going 10-7 as well. And I don't think the Chargers, what is it? 7-8.
7-10.
It's awful.
I also think the Raiders is like, and I don't even want to say this out loud because y'all know I'm not a Raiders fan, but 3-14. I felt like that was a little low.
It is. And granted, I think that was before Jimmy G passed his physical. So maybe, I don't know.
Well, they just released this and I was talking to this guy on the plane. He was like this really sweet guy. He's a Raiders fan. He used to be a Chiefs fan. Then he was a Chargers fan. And now he's a Raiders fan.
Oh
now,
my. How does that work?
He was special needs and it was wonderful. Okay. And I love that he was so passionate about it. And I loved him.
Aww.
But he is a Raiders fan right now. And I was like, I was trying to be funny, but you know, I was also like, you know, trying to give him a little, you know, cause he's on a plane with Chiefs fans. We're flying back from Orlando into Kansas City and they were on like a connecting flight to Denver or something, to LA.
It's a fun flight.
Yeah. To LA. So, but I was like, has Jimmy G even passed his physical? And my mom was like, yeah, he like just passed it. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, never mind. Okay. People got a chuckle, but I was like,
there's so many things happening. I can't keep track.
But so apparently he has passed his physical.
Okay.
So, but like, I don't think Jimmy G, he's like kind of like an Alex Smith type. Like he's like a game manager type. And that's not a diss to anybody. But I mean, the Raiders, like, they still have Max Crosby. They still have Devontae Adams. You know, they still, you know, Jimmy G's not a bad quarterback.
Now, I will say, I don't think they have Josh Jacobs anymore. So I do not know what their run game is going to look like.
It's true. But who was the other guy? They had another running back last season that I thought was.
I don't even remember.
Was it like
at this
Kendall
point.
Drake? Is that? No.
Kenyon Drake?
Is that?
Yeah.
Was he a Raider? Am I making that up?
No, you're not. I think he was. It was either last season or the season before. Hold on.
I'm just going to Google it to see if I'm full of it, y'all. Because I thought he was. Kenyon.
Oh, Bolden.
Oh.
Bolden.
Okay, he did play for the Raiders.
Yeah, he did. At some point,
they cut him last August, so maybe that was 2 years ago. But because they had agreed to a contract at some point for a 2-year contract, but
yeah,
that
so
was
I don't
old.
Know like what's going to happen with Josh Jacobs if he's going to ever report to camp or
yeah, he's
what they
he's
do there.
Kind of, I think helping head up the running back.
And they just got Marcus Peters back on the Raiders.
Yeah.
Back in the AFC West. That's random.
And so Marcus Peters, like, we all know he can make plays, but I think he's towards the end of being.
Yeah.
He's not the Marcus Peters he used to be.
No. Right?
We all know that. So I just hope he doesn't get in trouble in Las Vegas because of his you know, it's just
past.
Yeah. So please stay out of trouble, Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
That's where everybody seems to go to get into trouble. So
I know. Gosh. Yeah.
But yeah.
Hopefully he's grown out of that, but
let's hope so. But
yeah.
That's all I had really on the NFL record projections by this Nate Davis guy who
has
probably been clowned by every fan base in the NFL.
He must be a Steelers fan or something because I will say I've seen a lot of people like kind of high on the Steelers and I'm like, I
don't get that yet.
I kind of get it, but I don't.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you have a really good division
in the back.
It's okay.
I don't know anything.
And then the Browns are still a big question mark to me. So I'm just excited to see.
At 10-7 made me want to throw up a little bit because no offense to the Browns. I know we've got, you know, like Juan Thornhill. No, he went to the Commanders, didn't he? No, he went to the
Browns. No, he's on the Browns.
Yeah. I want Juan Thornhill to succeed, guys. I do.
Always.
But I cannot root for an organization that employed Deshaun Watson. I just can't do it. Like, I'm sorry. You're trash. So
and we have our third preseason game against them.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But
we won't see him, I don't think. So that's good.
Yeah.
And I'm I just want to add really quick. I'm annoyed that we have to go back to Arizona for a preseason game because I hate that field.
Me too. And I swear, if we play any of our starters on that field and somebody gets hurt, or even not our starters, if it's anybody on that field and anybody gets hurt on our Chiefs team.
Be so mad.
Oh boy. Y'all are not going to want to be near me because it sucks. Like
that field. I'm so annoyed that we have to go back there.
Me too, because I mean, obviously their grounds crew sucks.
Hopefully we just have Super Bowl vibes and come out clean.
Yeah. Like homecoming, that's great. That's fun. But
it is, I mean, I like that part of it because like we just won the Super Bowl there. They'll probably love being back there. But
can
like,
somebody figure out the field problem?
Please.
Because we had to play there twice and the field was horrible both games.
And the problem is like Arizona doesn't even care this year.
Yeah, they don't. They're 2-15 is one I totally agreed with. I was like, oh yeah, they're just phoning it in.
I think it's interesting how people are really down on the Niners too, real quick. Like, I don't understand that. They're a really good team. They didn't really lose that many people.
Jeez. Hi. Don't talk.
And I know their quarterback's unknown, but like, it's either going to be Trey Lance or Brock Purdy. I'm not too worried.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. What is happening right now?
I think they'll be a playoff team. And I think that NFC playoffs are going to look kind of similar, kind of different. I think Eagles, Niners, Cowboys are still going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then I don't know from there. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I think the Commanders like could shock some people, but not in like a crazy way, but I think they could be better than 7.
Better than they think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a busy few weeks here and then we'll get, I think next Thursday already we have the Hall of Fame game, which is not a fun game to watch, but I'm going to be watching because it's football.
It's football.
It's like already next Thursday.
Soccer, so that's fun, but you know.
Well, you won't be missing much, but I'm just excited to have football back. It's going to be a busy few weeks of training camp and.
Yeah. I was filling out my calendar, my planner today. So I'm still one of those old school people that has a paper like book planner and it's color coded. And I use sparkly glitter gel pens to fill it out.
I like it.
My Chiefs ones, like I have every single Chiefs game written in red ink with like gold sparkly stuff around it. Every single game. And I think it's like what? Let me hold on. I had it written down and I was boasting about it all day. I like yelled it from my office. I think it's August. Is it August 19th or August 13th?
13th, I think.
August 13th. Yeah. Is the first preseason game.
I'm so excited.
It's so close. It's July 25th, August 13th. It's basically 2 weeks. Let's be real. I'm so
exciting.
I get to see our Chiefs on a field.
And I just can't wait to see all of our guys. Like, I'm just so excited to see them in a real game.
Yeah.
Or not a real game. You know what I mean? A preseason game nonetheless. But our new guys that get to like show off what they've been working on and.
Yeah.
It just, from the sound of it, it just sounds like it's going so well. Like Travis Kelce's like, I've never seen, well, not that he's never seen, but he's like, just the energy in the room right now is so electric. Yeah. Like everyone wants to go back. It's like such a Super Bowl vibe.
on that team right now. And I just know that competitive edge they have. And you know they want to be the next ones to two-peat the Super Bowls.
Yes. Because
Patriots did that and Mahomes is coming after Brady.
I want to do that so badly.
We will see. It's going to be a long way, but I hope we can.
Yes. And real quick, everybody, before we sign off and let you get back to things that are not nearly as cool as us. it is Miss Lexi's birthday on Saturday. She's going to be 17. Yes. And
wow, yeah.
But no, like exactly. Everybody make sure you reach out to her on Twitter. Wish her a happy birthday because we love her so much. She is so important to us. And she just helps make this thing go round. I wish you guys could see just all the work she does to make sure this podcast gets up and going every single week. So just make sure you reach out and wish her a happy birthday because we love her so much.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Try not to cry because I'm a crier.
So sweet. So sweet. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. But you guys, I'm sure the rest of this week is going to be insane because that's just been how it's been. Literally, we signed off the podcast last week and things started going crazy. So you know what?
Every time.
We're going to have some crazy things to talk about. And
we're probably going to end this and Chris Jones is going to sign.
Yeah, we're gonna announce it. We're going to be the breaking news. So make sure you don't miss us next Tuesday as we announce Chris Jones' extension. But hopefully.
Pending.
Asterisk.
Yeah.
Nothing verifies that statement. Nothing. So, but as you can see below, make sure you like, subscribe, follow, comment everything to all of our different platforms on here, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Spotify, Apple, all the things, just all the things. Make sure you like and subscribe so we know that you guys are out there and you're supporting our show. And yeah, we will see you next Tuesday to talk about everything crazy. And we should have Jody back with us next week. So until next time, your queens have spoken.
Bye.
Bye, guys.